Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Okay, welcome. Shit. Shit.
You're like, what am I doing here? Why am I here?
Okay, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life.
That was better.
Hey, thank you. I'm joined by Rudy Madge. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, how are you?
Really good, thank you.
Nice to see you.
What's going on with the trackie?
Not sure, really. It's a friend of mine's. He left it at my house over the weekend, so I just popped it on.
What the fuck are you talking about? Is that a true story?
Yeah.
I don't think that's okay.
I'm not wearing a full tracksuit, just
no,
the top.
No, it's not about it being a full tracksuit. It's about a friend of yours accidentally left the thing at your house.
Do you never do that?
It's fucking unacceptable.
He's basically saying, I didn't wear his trousers.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it back to him.
Mate, anyway, I actually think that's out of order.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll never do it again.
What's the air cutting giving it back, like dry cleaners?
Yeah, get it cleaned. Yeah.
Ooh, you didn't say dry cleaners.
No.
Just clean it.
Also, he just said that because you asked him. There's no fucking way he would have got it cleaned otherwise. He's been put under pressure.
The little aftershave one. Spray it a bit and
bit
shake
of Febreze.
It.
Yeah, done.
So as you can hear, we've been joined today by the legend that is Kano. Hello, mate.
Hello.
We are buzzing to have you on the podcast, mate. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, safe.
How's life?
All right.
What do you think about that, by the way? What
about that?
Yeah.
It's something I would do.
You'd wear if somebody...
Yeah, just if you like it and you want to pop something
Yeah,
on,
I probably would do
just
that,
mix
to be
it
honest.
Up a bit.
Yeah. Are you being serious?
No.
Okay, both.
But you would dry clean it.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Girl, we've got so much in common.
Like, yeah, if you've left something on my house, I know you well enough to...
Yeah.
For you to know me well enough. To,
right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. How well do you know this person?
You're really well.
Okay, fine. Right, fine. Okay, it turns out I'm the prick in this scenario.
End of podcast.
I once... went to Germany to do promo and my luggage weren't there when I got there, and I borrowed a pair of jeans from someone.
Yeah.
And when, like, the guy's got a lot of money and stuff, and I thought it would just be cool. I thought, yeah, safe. I had a pair of jeans. Anyway, about a month later, he wanted them back. And I was like, all right, cool. He sent like a S-Class Mercedes to come and pick them up.
Pick
I'm like,
up.
That's worth more than the jeans.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it, but he wanted them back.
Wow, and that's quite a long period of time to wait for them as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Are you slightly nervous that he was thinking he's going to resell them or something, and he wanted to get like about a month of that kind of Kano stank on
Definitely not dry clean.
Drainage.
I came to see you on your last tour in Manchester.
Oh, the Manny one. Was that Ritz, I think?
Yes, I think so, yeah. And it was amazing, man. It was so good. I came with my brother. I was on tour at the same time that you're on tour. Mm. And
you didn't go to his though.
No, why would why would you do that?
He's on tour now, so there's an opportunity.
Yeah, sure.
Brighton one.
Yeah. Brighton one happened last, as you know.
Oh, you were down there as well.
No, I would love to come.
Yeah, I was outside the venue. It was amazing though, man. It was so good.
We had a good, you know, time that whole tour. Manchester's always one I look forward to though.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I've always loved going to Manchester. For like the audience is like good for me there, and I got a lot of mates up there, so you know, we always have a good one.
Yeah. And you're about to go on tour again now, right?
Yeah. October. Got a couple of dates.
So where are you going?
I think I'm starting in Glasgow. It's only like 5 dates for the first run. Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London, obviously, and Brighton.
Okay.
And Brighton as well.
You're doing Royal Albert Hall, aren't you?
For London, doing Royal Albert Hall.
So have you done Royal Albert Hall before?
I've done it as a support act
right.
for Jay-Z.
Shit, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that come about?
I was supporting him for that whole tour.
Right.
Which 2007.
Tour? Right.
And yeah, I supported that whole tour. And then I think their London show was like Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
And then they put on an extra special one after the tour was done, and that was Royal Albert Hall.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then we supported that as well, and it was just like, man, yeah, it was a real... And you could tell how serious he took it as well.
Yeah.
Like, he brought out Nas, you know what I mean? And they, after their beef for a long time, you know what I mean? And he'd done a tune together. It was like, yeah.
Did you chat to him at all?
Do you know what? I didn't speak to him the whole tour until the Royal Albert Hall show. Like, afterwards, we had a little chat.
Yeah.
Because he was one of them guys, like, car pulls up, you know? Like, yeah. No sound check, you know what I mean? The car pulls up, like, about 9:15. He gets out of the car. He walks down the corridor. Mm. Then he walks up the stairs to the stage. Then someone hands him the mic, and then he's spitting the first word as he walks. You know what I mean?
Serious?
Yeah, that's it.
So whenever I see those videos where they do that, I always assume that's bullshit, but it's legit.
With
that's
him,
how he does it.
It was legit with him. So we never really saw him.
And then straight out at the end?
Straight out at the end. Until Royal Albert Hall, when that finished, it was like, stayed at the end. Everyone was in the corridors and everyone was having a drink and whatnot. You know what I mean? So that's when I got to chat to him.
You obviously come across as a very laid back, sort of cool guy.
Yeah.
Were you still like this with him, or were you starstruck? I mean, do you get starstruck at all?
I still think about it today because I was still like how I am.
Yeah. Really?
And
yeah.
I wish I was.
You think he wish you a bit more hyped or whatever with him?
He called me up. I was just there chatting to a mate and he was like, I just heard like, yo, family. I remember to this day, he's like, family. I'm looking over like,
who's that?
It can't be talking about me. Then he's like, yo, family. I was like, you know the ones you point to yourself like,
yeah.
Me? Anyway, I went over there and he was like, yeah, just like, just want to say thank you for, you know what I mean, supporting the tour and like what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, man, cool. All right, bless, man, safe. Boom, and I walked off. And as I was walking off, I was thinking, no.
Should have dragged that out a bit longer.
The possibilities that could have came. But yeah, I just kept it like, yeah.
But that's cool though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, because I did, maybe. I was like, I love Run the Jewels. I've always talked about fucking Run the Jewels. Anyway, we did a thing like year before last where I was filming with them and I didn't do what you did. I became a fucking
like verbal diarrhea.
Mate, it was so embarrassing, man. Do you know what the other thing I did, which is really a bad move, is I went to hug LP and he's just like, I've just literally just met the geezer. He looked at me like, sorry, man, what the fuck are you up to? And then it was just...
What were you saying to them? Like, over-explaining.
You're like the most exciting duo out right now. It's just so incredible. You know, I just, for you to do what you do, it's just awful.
But I did see Jay-Z again, and I did ask for a picture.
Oh, did you? And how was it with that? All right.
Yeah, it was cool. Then I think I was doing the Gorillaz tour.
Right.
They played Madison Square Garden, and I was a part of that. And Jay-Z came to watch, and he was side stage. And that was nerve-wracking, him side stage as you're about
watching
to walk
you,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, weird. And then when we come off, just, like, spoke a little bit. And then I was like, can I have a picture? It was, like, on a camera as well. Like, I thought, Demta, digital cam. And, yeah, we took a picture. It was cool.
Yeah. Is that the most starstruck you've been, do you think?
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most it will ever get.
Yeah.
Him and like, R9 Ronaldo, if I saw, I think I couldn't help. I know he don't even speak English.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to tell him something. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to have to hear this English.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, he's it to me.
You have just brought out a new album. How much do you shit yourself when you bring out a new album? Because obviously, you're following up Made in the Manor, which was... like
incredible
and in fact Made in the Manor was the reason that Frankie Boyle looked up what the meaning of the word shubs was, because I don't know, have you heard, because he was on the podcast just going, I just didn't know what it was.
Shubs.
What,
yeah, is it? Serious.
so Frankie Boyle was like, I didn't know what it meant. So I looked it up, and now thanks to you he knows what it means. Man, on behalf of Frankie, thank you for doing that.
Sweet. That's sick. I don't
know. Obviously the new album Hoodies All Summer is like, I mean, we love it.
I was in the ends when Kenny from Network was buying out Benz. So now it's high end when I and I spend. Climatized, yes, no shine to my neck, but the stripes are my crepes, so drug dealer-esque. You can smell smell the east on me, like pink Ralphs and Versace blue jeans on me. I told my cousin, don't worry, I got peas on me. We fuck club up, then flee the scene. Drank 2 months off the floor, me get bashing in the dealership. Pull black, cool facts, man, didn't even leak the shit. Big man ting, it's a big man ting. If you grip my tings, it's a hitman ting. I don't leave.
How nervous were you about coming out, following up Made in a Manor? Or does that not even register with you? Just think, I just put it out.
It's more excitement. It doesn't register when you're making it, but then yeah, I guess it's more you put it out and then it's like anticipation for the response. You know what I mean? Maybe not nerves. You know?
No. Okay. Yeah,
maybe not nerves.
But then when it comes out, are you watching for reaction or do you switch off, disconnect from it completely and go and do something else?
Nah, I'm watching a bit. Like, I'm not really a social media guy.
Right.
But I can't lie, when you drop something, you kind of do watch a little bit.
Yeah.
And what's nice, for you know, as an artist, is like when your peers are now phoning you and texting you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Love this tune, love that tune. So that is also like something that's quite nice and important to me.
One of my issues I have is that my mum will phone me up to read out anything bad that's been said about me.
Reading out tweets and stuff.
So she'll read out tweets, she'll read out like any bad reviews I get, she'll go to me. I just think it's important that you know what people are saying
about
it.
Keep your feet on the ground.
Yeah, keep your feet on the
horrible. She phoned me up the other day like to just read out this fucking diatribe that this guy had like put out about me. I was like, mum, I don't understand, I can't do anything about that. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all you're doing is destroying my self-esteem.
Yeah, you can't. My mum does, she gets quite into it as well.
Yeah,
she phones me up and that, or texts me, like fire emojis and things like that.
Like, just that on its own.
Yeah, she really does that.
She's like, yo, what did she say? Like, yo, the popcorn shoot, mad!
With like pure D's, fire, fire, fire. I'm like, all right, winning at it.
It's a very different album to Made in the Manor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of much more reflective. And was that something when, like, you started putting it together, you thought, this is how it's... Was that a conscious decision before you started doing any of it, or was that what happened as you were making the songs?
I think most of the musical decisions were conscious from early. And I think lyrically, it kind of took a while and then kind of happened as I was in there more and more.
Yeah.
And I think I was struggling with what to say, if you know what I mean, because of Made in a Manor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think this album just had to be different to Made in a Manor.
Right.
It couldn't be more of the same, like, you know, like, and then another 12 personal stories, you know, you know what I mean? I feel like I revealed so much and just kind of just being stuck and then just realising maybe reversing that lens and then looking outward is kind of the way for this, and then everything clicked into place after that and then things began to flow. But it was about probably a year of struggling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, just trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah. But still not stopping making the music.
Okay.
But kind of lyrics, okay, I don't know what I'm going to say yet. I might have a verse here and there, but, yeah.
Does it just take as long as it takes, as far as you're concerned? Or?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Right.
So, yeah.
You're not working to a deadline, you're just like, I'm going to wait for the creative juices to flow or whatever.
Yeah. And then the deadline comes into play, and then you just realise you're not going to hear it, and then then you miss it.
Just keep
right,
then,
right, right.
Then you have a tour book, and then you cancel it all, and that's what happened. And then, I had Royal Albert Hall book before, like the year before, and then album just weren't ready, so I was like, nah, wait till it's ready, takes how long, whatever. And I think what helped is that 6 years off before Made in a Manor, that was nervous times.
Sure.
Because it's like, rah, are people still going to be here?
Yeah.
Did people want to hear my perspective? Did they care? You know, all of that kind of stuff. And I think releasing that album just made me realise, look, if the music's good, the ears will be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, ain't about trying to stay hot every year and jump on all these features and just trying to stay popping, or, you know what I mean? So, yeah, the 3 years was a little bit easy because of the...
The previous.
Yeah. It's like, it's only 3 years.
When you were doing a 6 year break, or, you know, when you were away from it for 6 years, were you watching what was going on in the music scene and getting anxious or nothing? Or what were kind of your feelings sort of being away from it?
I think the early part of the 6 years was like me a bit uninspired, watching what was going on, not really feeling it.
Right.
I don't know, it's becoming, everyone was like chasing commerciality a bit much and compromising what I assumed their beliefs were. And I just didn't necessarily know how I fitted into that, you know what I mean? And then I started doing Top Boy. So that kind of, you know, I could do something else and just, you know what I mean, got my head away a little bit. And then, you know, I began to like miss it a little bit, miss music and that. And then towards the end of that 6 years, while I was making an album, it was then seeing my peers like doing their thing and, you know what I mean, smashing shows and festivals and, you know what I mean, everyone was like, whatever. And then I was like, oh, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. But, you know what I mean, I just want to do it in the right way kind of thing.
Because the thing is that grime has exploded, obviously. You're in a situation where, like, I think that music is listened to in a bit more of a disposable way than it has been in the past. You know what I mean? And your albums sort of go against the grain in that regard, in terms of it feels like you're making records that you want to have longevity. Mm. Is that just how it comes out, or is that how... You know, what is that? Is that, that's a conscious thing for you, that you're making a record that you want to stand the sort of test of time? Is that your idea? Is that the idea behind it?
Yeah. Something that I want to stand behind, you know. Like, I can stand, I can just, you know, say that this is what I love. This is what's in my heart. This is my truth. You know what I mean? And to be able to look back in years time and just knowing that I was solid kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, very aware that people are just throwing out singles or people might even not even listen to this album as a whole. They might just like put tracks together on a playlist or what, you know what I mean? And you know, and you take so long over a sequence and how this track flows into that one. And, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sometimes you feel a bit like a dinosaur, but those are the, you know, the albums I rate and the artists I respect over the years. And I take it as a challenge. Like, people can get down by that and just whatever, but I'm like, all right, well, if no one's really listening to albums like that anymore, maybe the music just has to be better. Maybe the music has to be that good to force people to...
To change the habits, habits that people have formed or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, I know the Hoodies or Summer's an album, like, you can't just... That you got to say, I'm going to listen to this. You know what I mean? You got to dedicate time to it. And it's not a lot of time. It's like 10 tracks, 40 minutes, you know, but it's not like a background album.
Well, I mean, it's good that you're making stuff that you can look back on, because I sometimes look back at stuff I even did last year and I think that's fucking dog shit. So good for you, man. I respect that. It doesn't stand the test of time. Pardon?
And it doesn't stand the test of time.
Mate, sometimes I've done stuff and then I watch the fucking edit and I think, Jesus Christ, this is
Let's
over.
Get this done.
This is
Let's
fucking
out,
over, mate.
That happens, don't it?
Oh, God.
Here's a little pitch that you like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
What music did you listen to? Because obviously this is a hip-hop podcast, but I don't want to be tied to that. But like, what did you listen to sort of growing up? How did you get into sort of becoming an MC?
Growing up for me is more dancehall music, right. I would say. Like early days was like Pooja Bantans and Mad Cobra, Shabba, you know, then into Bounty Killer. Like that was kind of just like my thing.
And is that did you find that yourself, or was that what was being listened to in your house?
In my house was more like reggae, and then my uncle's like early dance with like the Super Cats. And so then when we used to go to Jamaica, like as a kid, like every year we used to spend like the whole 6 weeks holidays there, or go for 8 weeks or whatever. And then obviously I became into what the newer form of dancer was and what the younger people was listening to. So yeah, it's a bit kind of inherited and a bit kind of discovered by myself, like over there, buying 7-inch and stuff and bringing them back. And yeah, so that was that. And then it was really, hip-hop came into play, but also Garage did.
Right.
And, like, Garage was big for me.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the records I used to buy. My brother used to DJ. And, I picked up the mic and was a fan of, like, Heartless Crew and DEE and, you know, those kind of MCs. It's just man and man them from long time for the man them. I put my neck on the line, we don't short work. Neither Bobby, but everything's fine. I could see me and the man them, we get M's all the time. When we go shopping by the latest design, that's mine. Heartless Crew, we bought the whole shop. It was that, but hip hop was kind of in the mix, but not like I wasn't.
You weren't
like
exclusively listening to
the new Wu-Tang album. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't that. It was like, my in was probably more like around Biggie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
And then how did you start, like, MCing yourself?
I started MCing probably around 14, 15.
So where did you do that?
In the playground first.
Right.
In the circle.
Yeah.
Beatbox thing. That was... Yeah, we used to like battle and that and all that stuff. So yeah, probably started in a playground.
What were your battle skills like? Did you get your ass handed to you, or were you like
I was the man straight away, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I came in and dissed my brother as well. He was like, eh. I came in, was like, oh. Yeah, those times, beatbox, battling, and then that probably led to pirate radio. I think the first station I was on was called Flavor in Canatown, Referral Market. Brother was DJing, and me and another guy called Demon. Yeah, so that was around 16-ish.
Right. And then were you thinking you're going to do this for a career at that stage, or were you just pissing about?
Not yet. I was just, like, doing it because that's what I like to do, and then I started producing at around... Yeah, around 15, like same time, I had Cubase at home. So I used to like make beats. That's where I made my first tune. And then that got played on Deja Vu. Then I joined Nasty Crew. These times I'm around 17. And then went to Iron Napa at 18 just to do some bookings or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably wore some other people's clothes because we stayed there for too long.
Sons jeans.
Ended up there for about 5 weeks.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, booked for like 3 weeks. And then stayed like about 5 weeks. It's crazy. It's just doing raves and what. Because back then it was like we were just on the pirate radio, and it's like there wasn't a face to the name, or there wasn't a face to the lyric. So you're just there, kind of thing, in the club. Then your time comes, you jump on the mic and you spit the lyric, and it's like the whole club knows it. And you're like, huh? But no one knew it was you.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And you're like, wow, the whole whatever. Then the next day, like you go to the beach and everyone was there the night before, and like, guys from Nottingham and Manchester and Burnham, like from all over the place, all have come to Iron Napa. Then we was all thinking like, rah, maybe this is like way bigger than East London, because we're just on Deja Vu. We just, you know, it doesn't spread that far.
Yeah.
So when I came back from Iron Napa is when I thought, okay, I'm going to take this more seriously now. And it was about making an album straight on from then.
And when you first came out, I mean, you blew up, right?
It's hard for me to see it that way.
But from our...
Like album-wise or just from MC? Like,
well, for album... Like, I mean, I just... Album. You just exploded on... Like, you know, like you... The way I see it is, like, you know, there's like two types of like blowing up. And there's blowing up within the genre, and then there's just blowing up, like mainstream blowing up. And that's what you did, right? I mean, you were like fucking known... Like, known, I mean, you did blow up. I mean, you did.
He's not denying it.
Yeah. I guess it's difficult for you to say, but
Me, Dizzy blew up.
Right. Okay.
And yeah, to other people, maybe they'll be like, yeah, and then you blew up. You know what I mean? Like, his album came out maybe 2003 or something.
Yeah.
And mine was 2005. And well, yeah, it did change my life massively. And you know, you're recognised and all that, and you're on tour, and you know, you've got an album out, and. Yeah, blowing up to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think he, like, blew up to another level.
Right, you know, okay.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a small kind of explosion, I guess. Yeah.
Like a bang.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Not a boom.
A boom.
A bang.
A bit of everything.
Because the thing I wanted to... Because there's a lot to talk about with your whole style and stuff. Like, and you talking about your background being in dancehall makes sense, because... You've got a musicality to your lyrics that a lot of people don't have. I mean, I think it's sort of, I would say, I argue it's kind of like unique to you. Mm. How hard do you work at that kind of, because you come in and you kind of got like sing-songy intros, do you know what I mean? With you, like, into your songs and stuff, and you can come up with a catchy hook or whatever. Like, is that something that just naturally came to you? Is it something that you made a conscious decision to include, or?
A bit of both, because... It's weird because, like, I feel like most people from that class that I come from, you know, that Deja or whatever, are all unique. You know, all sound different from each other because you had to.
Yeah.
It wasn't acceptable to sound like the next person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was always about how could I stand out? How could I do things differently? Plus, we're all just on a pirate radio station with a mic, you know what I mean? You can't stand out by dressing differently, or, you know what I mean? It wasn't like all of that. So, yeah. It was part conscious, like what's going to be like my thing, and I worked a lot on like flow and, you know, finding new pockets, and I'm quite into like the technical aspect of it. But I feel like, as you said, like being a fan of dancehall, like those guys to me are so like versatile, you know what I mean? Like Buju Banton will go and sing a song and then, then he will go and rap the hardest lyrics, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not like, oh, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like when I started, there was probably a little bit of, oh, that's not grime, and whatever, you know what I mean? And I was like, I'm not trying to be grime. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to carry that. I would just rather be recognized as an artist and allowed to do whatever is in me. So I was always pushing to be myself, be different, you know what I mean?
That's nerve-wracking, though, because obviously now, if we listen to your records, you know, we know what your style is or whatever, and we expect that from you, and, you know, we sort of go, yeah, this is Kano. When you do that for the first time, that's got to be a bit nerve... Because, like, you know, people are just spitting bars or whatever, and then you come in and you want to do something a bit hooky or, do you know what I mean, have a bit of melody to it. I mean, you must have been shitting yourself the first time you tried that out.
probably. I remember... One memory I do have is, like, on the Pirate Radio, coming and spitting, like, slow... Over
right.
a fast beat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everyone was like, huh? You know, because everyone was like, da 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 da. You don't know me, blood. You don't know me. Everyone was like shouting and whatever. And I come in and I was like, like whatever. And everyone was like, what? And then you like, then you speed it up. But you might only speed it up to where they start. But I just realized, like, slowing it down, then picking up just has more of an impact. You know what I mean? And like how to, you know, craft a verse. That's why I like on P's and Q's, that's slipping. If the rain up licks, put in the clip. That, you know what I mean? From like, you might see my face, that's on the same song.
Slipping. If the rain up licks between the clip, that's slipping. No whip out the man of Lincoln chicks, that's slipping. That's slipping. If you see me and I ain't with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you. If you see me and I ain't with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you.
Yeah, I guess a little bit nerve-wracking, but just experimenting. The experiment of it was like, I don't know, it kind of won. Like that side of me will always win that artist that's curious, you know what I mean?
I remember there's a story about Rakim, who, like, he's obviously, you know, considered one of the greatest hip-hop MCs of all time, but before he came out, like, most rap was like da-da-da-da-da-da, rhyme, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and then he brought in this, like, you know, rhymes inside the lines and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the first time he was in the studio, like, apparently the producer's like, what the fuck is he doing? You know, like, this sounds
angry.
So mad. Yeah. This is not how people rap, like. Yeah. And then I remember, like, I think it was like DMC. I was watching the Evolution of Hip Hop, and DMC from Run DMC said, like, as soon as they heard that, they were like, "Oh shit, this might be over."
Yeah. Like, oh shit.
Still stuck with it.
He's fucked it.
Yeah.
that you know, that happens, and people like that come along, you know, rarely and every so often, and they, you know, what I mean, they change things forever. And I always wanted to be one of those people in our thing. You know what I mean. I feel like Mighty Mo was that person in Garage, because Garage MCs was just doing the, you know, hyping up the crowd just whatever. Then Mighty Mo was coming on some IT, apostrophe, S, yes, take a guess, it's the artist, the record artist, the regardless, the art. You know what I mean? Like, no one was really on that.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, to me, he took it to a next level.
Yeah.
Then I think, like, Wiley came, you know what I mean? Then me and what, you know, so, yeah, it's important to raise the bar, you know what I mean? That's what everyone should be doing, isn't it? Just trying to raise the bar. Why are you trying to do it as good as the people before you? Like, you have to be trying to better shit, you know what I mean? Or what's the point?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you think there's people, UK people, that you think are raising the bar now?
I like Sims.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think she's like, she's body and shit, man.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. I hear her stuff and sometimes I'm like, yeah, she's just got it.
Yeah.
She's just got it. Friend of mine as well. But yeah, I saw it in her early, like she was just trying to push and be, but and not just be.
Yeah.
Oh, what do female MCs do? Like, what? That's not even female. I hate when people say, oh, she's the best female rapper in the country. Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's, you know what I mean? She's just a rapper. And she's better than, like, most people. Mm. Sometimes I feel like she don't get the credit that she deserves. But I know sometimes it's a long game. You know what I mean? And I've been where she's been, when you feel like you're better than other people and they might be achieving more and whatnot. But it's all bullshit at the end of the day. Like, I feel, you know, she would stand the test of time and, you know, people would end up saying like, oh, no, she's like, she's one of the coldest.
That's how I feel when people say, like, he's like the best, 11th best Asian comedian.
Yeah.
I'm
like, no. You're the 11th now.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that's where I'm at. But do you think it's difficult to do that, though? Because, like, for Sims and for yourself, well, I guess for you and Sims, it's a bit different, but, like, Sims would be looking at people, like, getting short-term kind of accolades and exposure and attention, and she is I guess she'd be fighting that desire to try and move into that. You know, it must be frustrating if you're trying to beat on your craft and then you're seeing people blowing up with what you think is not as good, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It is tough. You know, And what's even more frustrating is I bet some of the people that are going for the other stuff, in terms of the audience, the public, they even know it's not as good.
take what's there.
You know what I mean? It's like, we all know, don't we? Like, we all know what's better food to eat than the other bit of food.
Yeah.
And still don't go for the spinach.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. She's doing well anyway, and it's like, you know, you can't just keep looking at that stuff because it will drive you crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And life just isn't fair. Like, you know what I mean? It's like there's better English players than David Beckham, but he is who he is, and it's like it is what it is.
Yeah.
Paul Scholes can't be at home like just like, oh, why is he getting all that? Yeah. You know?
I've got to ask you about your girl's pum pum smells like the A13 Bexinus.
gear change. The gear change there.
What a gear change. That's amazing.
Incredible.
Because once I was doing a show and someone had it on a banner, just like at a festival.
Mate, I got to tell you, like, that fucking lyric, it's just... Because the way that you just reacted then is how everybody reacted when they first heard that lyric.
Yeah.
Because it just comes out of nowhere. It's fucking, like, so funny.
I'm out with a chat about TP3, that's the next thing. Over the fence thing. Bigger chopper, crossbar, bigger next thing. Send Olaf's on a belt drive next thing. Septic. Patchy might pass in the next 10. I kept money in the box that my creeps come in. Before my first Wiley check come in. So what? Them man are flexing. Them man are keyboard flexing. Well, your girl's pum pum stinks like the A13 Becton exit.
Did you have any feeling it was going to get a reaction that it did, or become as sort of iconic as it did when you did it?
No, not really. I was just making myself laugh, and I done that by myself. Like, I recorded that in my living room by myself.
Yeah.
Like, no engineer and whatever. And I just remember just like laughing, like laughing my head off doing it. And it was just meant to be a freestyle. It weren't meant to be on the album.
Right.
But I ended up putting it on there. But
so that was it genuinely you pissing about?
Yeah, that was literally recorded in my living room. Just me and fucking about.
And then you got people to do fan videos, didn't you? Like for the video of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I put it out on I think I'd put a clip up on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
And then people were like recording that and sending me back stuff and whatnot. So I was just like, send me your clips. Then I just decided to do a video, and like, it got a bit long because I had to email everyone the song individually. Right. You know what I mean? I didn't just want to put a song out there. And I was like, you know, you're putting in an email, look, I would appreciate if you don't like share this. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know, you can do what you want, but like please don't. And no one did, to be fair. And people like all around the world was like sending me their clips and stuff.
I reckon there must be people that went to that exit to see. Well, not to compare it to anybody's pom-pom, but like, just to see what the smell was that you're talking about.
People have passed it and messaged me.
Yeah.
Like, sent me videos. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if, like, in years to come, people will, like, you know, there'll be, like, tours there and go, you may notice this. Yeah.
A blue plaque. Just for the lyric.
This is the area that Kano once referred to as smelling like one of his adversaries' girl's pum-pum. Yeah.
But everyone that knew it, like, that was the thing for me when, like, people are like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you put that in there.
So do you listen to much music yourself?
Do you know what? I'm trying to like get back into listening to music because obviously, not obviously, but when I'm making an album, I don't really. Yeah. It's like, well, in the 3.5 years, whatever, I was doing a show and then making an album, don't really get too much time to listen to music, or you kind of want to not be subconsciously influenced by what's going on. And so, yeah, during the course of that album, I think, listening to A Seat at the Table, Solange's, quite a bit early on, maybe 3 years ago, and then Sim's album that's come out this year. DEE's album, I think, came out last year. Listening to He's quite a bit. Kendrick's. Yeah, those are the albums that listen to Dave's a bit when he dropped recently.
Santam from the football XAJ. Man mystic with a pen like JK. True say I ain't really a drinker, but I got love for brandy like Ray J. Champagne popper, 44 chopper in a black night bomber. Heartbeat stopper, half our MC dropper, 45 whapper, leave you in the states like Kaka. AJ from the look X Santan. Man's got style and a rhythm like Gangnam. Two young brothers trying to eat off of music, but we used to eat off of pebs in the sandbags. Now we get money, music money. Money that could put your girlfriend in a handbag. White teeth, Balenciaga's man bag. Left winger with a long stick like a granddad. AJ.
That was Dave's, that festival video of that kid that came up on
Yeah.
That was fucking mad.
I haven't seen it, but a lot of people were talking about it.
Well, this kid comes on and, like, spits the verse. Yeah. He's clearly off his fucking tits, this kid.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, he is. It, like, it wouldn't have surprised me if they said minutes later he collapsed. I mean, he just fucking looked
on it.
Though,
and
he could remember like the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one remembering lyrics.
Is it? Have you ever struggled?
Once you get the first line, you're kind of there. You know what I mean? It all comes back. What I have done a couple of times, you've done the first verse, then when the second verse comes, done the first verse again.
But once you commit, you're like, nah, shit.
You gotta just go with it. Yeah. But I did do like a 10-year anniversary gig for Home Sweet Home a few years back, and I had to learn the whole album again because I would perform like P's and Q's, so I know that.
Yeah.
And a couple tunes, but most of it, like, I just didn't know. So I was listening to the album and I had to, like a fan, I didn't know what was coming next when I was speaking. And I decided to learn like one a day. So, you know, the whole day I'll play this one song, the next day move on to the next one. And that was crazy, like literally not knowing.
Wow.
And did you find it came back to you at all? Or were you literally having to learn it from scratch?
Most of it came back. Like sometimes it'd be like the third verse on whatever song. It's like, wow, I've got to literally learn that again because I can't remember that at all. And then I wasn't really putting lyrics, that writing them down. And
right.
And I think that kind of process helps. But then I was just doing it.
Like, I had that, like my first ever Edinburgh show, it's not written down anywhere. And I couldn't tell you any of the fucking jokes from that set. Or recorded anywhere. So that's gone now. Do you know what I mean? Like, if for any reason anybody asked me to perform again, it's over. I can't do it.
10-year anniversary.
You know what, man, I was going to ask, like, for you, I guess, you need everyone to not know what you're about to say.
Yes.
Mm. Right? And that's the worst day in our life. No one knowing the song you're about to perform.
Yeah, you know I mean?
We want everyone to know.
We have opposite opposite problems. Because for me, for comedians, all people want to hear is the new shit.
Yeah.
Whereas for a lot of, like with music, they don't want to hear the new shit.
Nah,
the
old shit. Yeah.
That's when you go to the toilet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember like going to see Ice Cube and he did like Strat Ag Compton, he's doing stuff of Death Certificate and that. And then he goes, "Who want to hear that new shit?" And I was like, "Nut."
Oh, mate.
Because yeah, you can't, because that's not the environment to hear a song you've not heard before. It's difficult, isn't it?
Nah. You know what I mean? And it's tough for, well, I guess it's tough for an audience.
Yeah.
Well, not tough, but they just don't want it. But as an artist, it's like, you know, you kind of, you want that response and that reaction. And especially that hip hop, call and response and all that kind of thing. You know, like leaving that line so they can sing it back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all part of a show, which I guess you can't have when you're performing new material.
Yeah, although I did have it once where, like, I was writing a new show and it's like, not this tour, the one before. And I was doing it in Leicester and I was fucking, like, dying on my ass. You know what I mean? Like, nothing was working. I was just, like, with notes and shit and I was, like, trying to figure out stuff. Fucking death. Playing to silence. Mm. And then, like, about 30 minutes in, just woman just went, "Why don't you just do some of your old stuff?" God. And I was just, like, fucking heartbroken. I was just like, "Oh, my God, Rom, it's over, man."
Did he give her what she wanted?
No, fuck that. Because
get into the fucking...
call and response.
Yeah. It's hard, that, isn't it? But, I mean, like, when you've written a new song, do you ever perform songs before that you put them out just to see?
No. That's what I mean. And that's what I feel like singers can do, you know what I mean? Some indie band or whatever.
Yeah.
It's this new one called blah, 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 and just do it. It's tough. You might be able to do, like, drop a beat and spit a verse or something. I don't know, but not, like, perform a whole song. Don't really do that.
Yeah.
I kind of like... The ideal for me is, like, to drop an album and tour the month after.
Right.
2 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
So people can live with it a bit and learn it a little bit. You know what I mean? They're still not going to be... every word, like the day thing. that might take like a year or something. Or maybe you got crazy people. But you want people to know it, man.
I mean, when I came to see you in Manchester, the show was fucking unbelievable. It was amazing. And the thing is that I was sort of watching it and the crowd were going off to what I would describe at my age as an irritating amount. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was fucking insane to be in amongst it.
More
impressive
to watch it than be amongst it.
I mean, mate, I was respecting what you're doing, but also I value my own comfort. And it was just like, it was crazy, man. It was like an amazing show. I mean, how much are you... Because obviously, when you do comedy, if they don't laugh, it's no longer comedy. Do you know what I mean? So you're 100% dependent on their response. How dependent are you on the response of the crowd? I mean, would you have delivered that? Because the crowd are like fucking bang up for it when I go to see it. But like, does that affect you? Will your show change depending on what the audience are giving you back?
Yeah. I mean, if it's not a good energy, obviously that would just, you know, just change the performance naturally in terms of how you're performing or how much you're into it. Because they get you into it as well. It's like a give and take thing. But if a song ain't working, you might want to, and you know you got one coming up that's a bit like that, then you might want to change that.
So you change the set, you just go, "Let's move on from this one," or whatever.
Well, I used to be able to do that more, just perform with a DJ.
Right.
But when you perform with a band, you're kind of locked into, you know, what you're doing. But you might be able to, like, cut a tune that's coming in a few tunes' time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you might feel like, "Let's not do the go off stage for the encore bit because they're not going to call for us back." Let's just carry back. He'll be like, "All right, he's gone. All right, I'm gone.
Lights up."
Yeah.
Just come back. Who wants... Shit.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
You obviously put a lot of effort into your live shows. Do you watch other people? And I don't think that's true of everybody. Do you go to gigs and watch people and think this isn't the way to do it? Or?
No, I go to gigs and I watch their show and I'm like, "Oh, they made so much profit."
Fuck. Yeah, because I haven't
this
got a full
band. Band.
This is how you be rich. Yeah. We don't need 8 strings. We don't need a brass section. Yeah. We don't need, you know what I mean? And it's tough sometimes when you're trying to push yourself and trying to, you know, give the audience a memorable
Is that
show.
Where the having the band comes from? Is it you just want to make it an event? Is that
I just want to make it an event, but I just want to excite myself as well. You know what I mean? And keep it fresh and switch things up and represent the music on the album, you know, as true as possible, and then go beyond. Yeah, so it's like it's deep for me. You know what I mean? The trend, like the Ghetto Coyote outro, slowing it down, yeah. The strings that blend into ends. You know what I mean? Like, these are all things that we care so much about. Maybe no one else does. Maybe some people may come to the show and be like, look, we just want to hear you do three wheel ups and we're kind of that's it, that's all we're here for. But I feel like there are people there that just respect the artistry, or whether they know it or not, it just gives them a different feeling when you kind of put so much into it. Yeah, but it's long and it's a lot of work and a lot of practice, and it costs a lot, you know. So sometimes it means you don't really make any money, but fuck it, man. It's like, you know what I mean, make money doing something else.
Like. Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody that you've seen live that you've like really enjoyed? I mean, do you have like live experience where you think these people are doing it right?
I've seen on video like Kendrick stuff.
Yeah.
I've been to an early show of his. I think he had a DJ in London when he was kind of just starting, but everything I've seen that he's been doing in America and whatnot, to me, I look at him and I'm like, he's proper.
Yeah.
Proper. So he's like the bar to me. Yeah, he's a benchmark, you know what I mean?
In terms of like what he's, in terms of his recorded stuff as well, or his live stuff, or both?
Recorded stuff. Live is sick, but I would like to be there at a show. But recorded stuff, lyrically, musically, I just feel like he just gets it right. That's like hip hop to me at its best.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip hop album?
And what is some of your favourite hip hop?
Some of mine's like I'm a big Jay-Z fan. Yeah. You know what I mean? Reasonable Doubt would probably be like one of my favourite albums ever. Who wanna bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever? Live treacherous, all et cetera. To the death of us, me and my confidants. You shine, you feel the ambiance, y'all niggas just rhyme. Body ounce though accumulates like snow. We don't just shine, we illuminate the whole show. You feel me? Factions from the other side would love to kill me. Spill 3 quarts of my blood into the street, let alone the heat. And then like going, I was like quite into Biggie, but you know, Jay-Z, I'm not a big Nas fan. Like I like Andre 3000. I liked the early Eminem stuff. I feel like he was like technically.
Sometimes when you listen to some of his early stuff when he was really hungry, I mean, not literally, but I mean on the mic he sounded hungry. The technical expertise of what he was doing is just insane.
Yeah, he was like, he was one of those people that we were talking about earlier that come and they just move things so much more forward. Yeah. And I'm not talking about like commercially, because obviously he done that as well, and like, you know, sales and all of that, whatever, but technically I just feel like he took it to a place that it hasn't been before. And I feel like Kendrick's influenced by that.
Yeah.
By M, Bone Thugs and Harmony, I see in Kendrick. And maybe like,
oh, that's interesting, I haven't thought of that, but it is a bit of Bone Thugs.
Yeah, just the melodic thing that he brings, and M, and
it's weird, isn't it? There's something
Nas, there's a Nas in there as well.
Yeah.
I think he's like the superhero that took all of their power, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also makes it, I mean, every time I talk about Eminem, I get so much fucking shit on this podcast, but
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
But when you compare it to like what he's doing now, like, I mean, I was on the way to a gig the other night and we just had Eminem on shuffle, like from across all of his albums. And like, just the stuff when he was like really going for it, just, you just think this is amazing. And then you hear some of his other stuff, you go, I can't believe this is the same guy. But like, my argument is, because we had Murs on the podcast and he was saying that he's progressing as an artist. He had a go at me, basically, didn't he? Because he said that I was trying to stifle Eminem's creative progress. I can't believe some of the stuff he's come up with. I can't believe it's the same guy that's like fucking pushing the envelope so much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes as a fan, I was like trying to stifle his sober progress, you know? Because I feel like he was better.
Better when he's fucked up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's weird with Eminem because, you do get, there was a time when you said that and it was just like obvious, obviously, yeah. But you do get stick now, and I feel like obviously the music he's making now isn't, you know, I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
And some of the music from then hasn't aged well.
Yeah, yeah, mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like listening to it for nostalgia. Some of it you can do that, but then there's songs like Stan that I think is like one of the best songs ever written.
I mean, it's like Stan,
like,
is
not just hip hop.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Ever.
It's fucking incredible, right?
Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn, you must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it, what's been up, man, how's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too, I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'ma name her Bonnie.
I mean, like, the concept of it, the execution of it, just everything.
It's ridiculous.
And you think about where he was in his career at that stage, because it was like, it's on Marshall Mathers LP.
Mm.
Slim Shady LP had blown up,
mm-hmm.
and then he's coming out with this record that, you know, is a lot of pressure on that record. And Stan is like, for him, is an experimental song. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it was amazing, like, yeah. Everything about it.
Yeah, he was just at the top of his game, and yeah, maybe he has peaked, I don't know, maybe not, but what a peak, man.
Yeah,
I know. You know what I mean? So yeah, him, ridiculous. Do you like J. Cole?
I love J. Cole, yeah.
Yeah, some people are funny about that one as well.
I don't know, I know what you mean, because like...
Like some of my friends say, oh, he makes me want to die, want to split my wrist, he's boring. He's like, I'm like, whoa, what the fucking hell? but I like, I rate him.
The thing is that...
I rate him, but I don't listen to him often.
I love J. Cole, but I think he's headphones music.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't put him on in the car when I'm with friends or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's sort of like, it's sort of something you listen to on your own, I think. Do you know what I mean? And then sort of think about punching yourself in the dick. No, I'm joking. But like, but I do think it's a different kind of thing. Whereas, like with someone like Kendrick, Kendrick does have that same quality. You can listen and there's so much to get from Kendrick. But he's also got those tunes that you would just bang out in a car. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a combination.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got both of that. And I have that same thing with, like, I'm really into Joyner Lucas. I don't think they're Joyner Lucas at all. But, like, some of my friends get me, I can't believe you fucking listen to Joyner Lucas. It's so corny and, like, all self-referential and, like... Yeah. But
he does, like, the conceptual videos and...
Yeah,
like
that. did that video that I'm Not Racist or whatever, where it's like... Have you seen that video?
Yeah,
it's
it was
like,
amazing. So.
It was incredible, yeah. Except I just thought... When I first saw it, I just thought, fucking hell, this racist white guy fucking got bars.
That's
man.
What I thought. Yeah. I thought, huh? Yeah.
I was like, you know, I totally disagree with what you're saying, but fucking hell, I can spit. A fair play to it.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
So what's next plans for you? You're going on tour?
Yeah, going on tour. So really just this week and next week rehearsals, and then I guess the following week the tour will start.
Okay.
October.
And where can we get tickets for that tour? From your website or what?
Yeah. Website.
I never know where people can get tickets for mine.
Yeah. There's another tour on, so there's tickets available for the next one in January, February.
Right, okay.
So I think it's kanomusic.com /tour. Oh, it sounds good when you give it forward /.
Fucking Google it, mate. Or whatever search engine you
use.
Yeah. Sponsored by Google.
Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, come to a show, man. Yeah. Come to the Royal Albert Hall if you're around.
I'm coming to the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, we both
are.
You can summon us over backstage.
Huh?
You can summon us over like Jay-Z did.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Depends what you're wearing, to be fair.
Yeah, probably still there.
Yeah.
Kane, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.